This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Walk inside the Durham Convention Center this weekend and enter a different world, one inhabited by people like Superman, Batman, and X-Men. Comic book writers and publishers as well as artists are pouring into Durham for this year's North Carolina Comic-Con. And joining us now to talk about the Comic-Con, local writer Jeremy Whitley. He's the mind behind the comic Princeless and also many others. He's one of the creators of the comic book publisher Fire Tower Studios. And he joins us again. Jeremy, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Also joining us, Tommy Lee Edwards, a painter, comic book writer, and one of the people running this year's North Carolina Comic-Con. Tommy, welcome to you. Good to have you here.
Thanks very much.
So tell us about this year's first of all, tell us, Tommy, how Comic-Con got started here in North Carolina.
Well, the way it got started was by Ultimate Comics, which is a shop in Chapel Hill, and Alan Gill and Eric Hoover and a bunch of the guys that worked that shop, they thought, well, it'd be great to start a convention. And this will be their fourth year. Each year it's doubled in size. And I used to kind of use my reputation as a comic book creator to help them find guests to bring and to help set up, you know, events and things. And this year I became co-owner of the show and just kind of really put a lot more of myself into it. And we started, you know, adding more and more, you know, aspects to it.
Including space. You now have the entire convention center, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's you know, last year I remember the fire marshal had to tell us, okay, no more people in the building, you know, and we had, you know, one line for tickets. And it was, you know, it's such a learning process that this year we've teamed up with the Carolina Theater that's connected to the convention center where they're going to handle the ticketing. You know, they have plenty of lines for people to go through. We'll have, the whole convention center, which is literally three times the space we had last year, and then now the film festival that we're also starting with the Carolina Theater.
It really has grown, Jeremy, in just 4 years. It keeps doubling. What accounts for that, do you think? What accounts for the popularity of this kind of thing? We've got, I mean, superheroes are there, film as well as published heroes, comic book, film, and video stars. Why is it particular to this area? Are there here in the Triangle?
I think the Triangle has, and I think I've learned this over the last couple of years, has an incredible creative community. People are always, you know, doing new stuff and looking for new stuff. And, you know, between the bit of film we've got here, the obviously the radio, the comics, everything, there's a lot of great things out there, and a lot more people are getting out and seeing it and getting excited about it. And I think this is just a symptom of a larger sort of creative movement in the Triangle.
Yeah, and that's something to stress, Tommy. We think about superheroes as comic books and maybe kids stuff, but the kind of creative energy that goes into this and the output. I mean, when you think about the Triangle in particular and the number of game makers and video producers here, right here in the Triangle and then elsewhere in North Carolina, there's a lot of creative energy that goes into this.
Yeah, definitely. And that's part of, at the root of the NC Comic-Con will always be comics, but I think, you know, it just celebrates creative storytelling in general. So, you know, a lot of stuff that we want to expand into is even including, you know, dance, including, you know, music. Like the night before the convention on Friday night, we're going to have a party with two local bands, Jack the Radio and Goodbye Titan, Farewell Titan. There's basically, you know, all these local guys, local filmmakers will be showing their shorts during the festival. And there's just no shortage of – the only problem is how do we fit everybody in? You know, there's just so much great stuff.
Filmmakers showing their shorts. That I can't wait. I can't wait to see that. Jeremy, but so do comic books get lost in all this? I mean, how important are comic books in this whole creative scene that includes these other media?
I think that's the fantastic thing with NC Comic Con is, like, it was born out of comics, and they've kind of stayed at the heart of all this. You know, the majority of the people that if you go in on the floor and look, they're going to be people that are making comics that have original stuff coming out, you know, that are working for big companies as well. You know, if you go to some of the bigger comic cons, say in New York or San Diego, comics can be kind of difficult to find there. But here, you know, you're actually getting comics. You can actually get a chance to actually come up to the table and talk to Tommy or I for a couple of minutes, half an hour, whatever. Just, you know, get to actually know it, get to ask the questions you want to ask rather than, you know, getting shuffled off through a line into the crowd somewhere.
Tommy, what are we going to see in particular in this year's Comic-Con in Durham?
Well, this year's sort of what Jeremy was saying is what's nice about this show is that you do have that one-on-one contact with the creators. So like San Diego Comic-Con, when I was living in Los Angeles, we would go down there as fans in the early 90s. And as the convention has grown now as a professional, it's not really the kind of atmosphere that I really enjoy. It's kind of like a necessary evil for business. But with what we're trying to do with this show, which is why I wanted to be involved, is because we're trying to make the kind of show that not only fans really like, but also the professionals, because we're kind of spread around all over the world, and this is our one chance to kind of have that contact with the fans in a way. And we're going to have Bernard Chang, who draws Green Lantern Corps, he and I are going to do a workshop on Saturday and basically show this is our process of how we make a comic. We're going to, so there'll be a lot of educational things as well. You know, so we're going to have Chad Netherland come in, who was on a Stan Lee show, who's a strong man doing stuff. We have so a little bit of everything.
A lot of folks in costume.
Yep,
we're hoping. And movies. Tell us about some of the films.
Well, the movies, again, it was sort of like another way to bring in more, you know, variety and more other avenues of storytelling. But as Jeremy said, keeping comics as this anchor of the whole experience. So with Jim Carl, the programming director at the Carolina Theater, we put together a list and whittled that list down based on what we could get rights for, you know, where we could find a print. You know, some of the movies were, I had to have my personal favorite comic book movie ever, which is Danger Diabolic, made by Mario Bava in the early 70s. And then Alan, who started the convention, his personal favorite, which is not a comic book movie, so I had to argue with him a little bit, but it's it's Megaforce, which is one of the silliest movies I've ever seen in my life, but it's in the spirit of comics. So then we've got Dick Tracy. I mean, we got 35mm print of Dick Tracy of Batman the movie from 1966. We've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then we've got a couple movies that actually the people who are involved, the actual creators of the content that went into the movies, are actually going to come to the convention as well.
That sounds great. Let's talk about a couple of these in particular. Warren Beatty as Dick Tracy meets Breathless Mahoney, a character played by Madonna, and he arrests Big Boy Caprice, played by Al Pacino. Let's hear it.
Tracy.
We meet again, huh?
Where's Lips? This is a private club, copper. You got a membership card?
Do you?
I own it!
Since when?
Today. I made a deal with Lips.
Lips? Where is he?
I don't know. Must have left town or something.
Well, that's a coincidence.
My new girl, Breathless Mahoney, meet Dick Tracy, a servant of the people, like me.
You like walnuts, don't you, big boy?
I love them. A lot of people like walnuts. They're good for the liver.
Yeah, but they're bad for the brain. You're sloppy, big boy. You're under arrest.
There's a scene from Dick Tracy. So is this, what do you think, Jeremy, and I'll ask you too, Tommy, somebody like Dick Tracy, for instance, is it a retro look, or are these characters still somehow alive, and are they being created today, both in the comics and in the movies?
I think especially Dick Tracy coming from that noir tradition is very much alive now. Like there have been several noir books, police books, detective books that have come out in the last few years. It's really kind of part of the comic spectrum that's blossomed with people like Greg Rucka and Ed Brubaker, who you know, really brought back that kind of noir crime sensibility. And there's a lot of it out there, and it's some of the best stuff.
Superheroes 2, Superman 2, another movie showing at the festival. We've got a scene here. Superman, this is Arch. Superman saves a boy falling into, yes, Niagara Falls. And, of course, the iconic theme music is playing. That's really all you have to hear. Here's the scene.
Way to go, Superman!
We don't really need a lot of dialogue, do we?
That John Williams going.
What is it that is essential to an adventure comic, and how much can it change, do you think? I mean, what are the atmospherics around it that could change easily, and what's essential to it?
I think essential is a character, and also there's a certain timeless quality to certain characters like Dick Tracy, like Superman, that have been around for, you know, 50, 60 years. And there's a reason why they worked then, and there's a reason why they continue to work now. And I think it's important for not only the publishers, but then when you have, you know, their parent companies, like now we have Disney that owns Marvel and Warner Brothers with DC, that they, especially Marvel, is kind of seem to recognize that, you know, if it's not broke, you know, don't fix it, yeah. You know. So I think there's a new kind of reinvigorated, you know, trend in, you know, really taking the actual source material and adapting it very truthfully to the screen.
Yeah, but the word truthfully, Jeremy, that's the interesting part to me, because these characters are so over the top. And when you think about character, if character is the most important thing, or the most important elements of a character, some way or another I can identify with it or hate it deeply. How do these over-the-top characters that can't possibly be real and I can't possibly identify with remain so popular?
I think a lot of it is to do with the heart of the character. And there's a lot of the best characters, like Captain America or like Spider-Man, have that central character that you can connect to. You can really understand where they're coming from. You know, Captain America, for instance, was a little scrawny kid in the 50s that really just wanted to nothing more than to go out there and fight for his country. And, you know, I think a lot of people can relate to being that kid who's too small to actually be a part of the fight. And then, you know, to see him make that turnaround, but still keep that core of that, you know, scrappy young kid who really believes in what he's doing, is, you know, inspirational to people, and I think really speaks to them.
So the how they do it can be unbelievable, but the why is the thing we connect with. I would like to think that I would sacrifice my time, if not my life, because I'm a superhero, so I'm not worried about my life, right?
Yeah, I mean, even like with Spider-Man, everyone kind of knows that from, even if you don't know the comics, popular culture knows that famous line of, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And that's the thing that, you know, is, those are the themes and the character traits that will continue to, you know, push the comics onward throughout time.
The genre has been around long enough now so that you can do satire as well, and you can begin to play with the types, play with expectations. There's another movie at North Carolina Comic Con, Mystery Men. This one is a comedy, a scene with a superhero team auditioning new superheroes. Let's hear that clip.
All right, state your name and power.
I am the Waffler. With my griddle of justice, I bash the enemy in the head, or I burn them like so. Oh, don't do that. I also have my truth syrup, which is low fat. And I've been working on a theme song, kind of a waffle man. I am the Waffler. Golden crispy. Bad guys of history. Yeah. And I'm running. You know, just think about it. Do you have a health plan, by the way? Maybe dental, eye?
Next.
Hi. I am Pencil Head.
And I am son of Pencil Head.
We erase crime.
Two generations of...
Right.
Yes, thank you.
I do it right?
Yeah, I think I like this.
I say.
I'm the Ballerina Man.
I don't know.
There we go. That's a clip from Mystery Man, one of the many films that will be shown at this year's Comic-Con in Durham, among the activities and great fun at this weekend's event here in Durham. So it's arrived. I mean, obviously, if you can do satire, here's a genre that has arrived, huh, Tommy?
Oh, yeah. I mean Bob Burden, who created the Mystery Men from his comics, The Flaming Carrot, that was a lot of that stuff. You know, when I was a kid in the 80s, was when a lot of those satires and things started showing up, because we all knew the archetypes. We all knew, you know, so there was a very familiar language that you can easily sort of play fun with. And so Bob's actually going to be here at the convention introducing the Mystery Men film, and then doing a Q&A afterward about, you know, kind of showing us and the audience how, you know, how does it go from being a comic to a film? What are the differences? What's the process behind that?
Jeremy, are you at all surprised at the growth of Comic-Con in this region?
I can't really say yes, right? I think I think it's one of those things that the further you get into it, especially around here, the more you want to see of it, the more you want to be a part of it. And I think especially with the way a lot of the superhero movies and things like that have taken off and introduced a newer generation to this stuff, I think it's fantastic, and hopefully is, you know, something that's going to continue as these kids are introduced to these characters, and maybe they start picking up books and they start actually getting into this, and you know, they're the next generation of us, hopefully.
Yeah, well, that'd be the thing, to stop being to make the leap from becoming a consumer to a creator. If you start to see this stuff and like it. I want to thank you both for being on the program. Jeremy Whitley, creator of the comic Princeless, and many others. He's also one of the creators of the comic book publisher Fire Tower Studios. Tommy Lee Edwards, painter, comic book writer, and a creator, one of the people running this year's North Carolina Comic Con. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. Thank you.
North Carolina Comic Con this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, Durham Convention Center. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you for listening to our program. Go to that website to see a list of any of the events or things we have talked about, stateofthings.org. It's a program produced by Nicole Campbell, Alex Granados, Laura Lee, and Sean Wen. Bryson Russell is our intern. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brent Wolf, the news director. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.